Job chapter 1, verse 8. Job chapter 1, verse 8.
Job chapter 1, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and calling upon you and asking you to fill us and guide us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed and drawn closer to you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, Doth Job Fear God for Naught? That is a question asked by the devil. In other words, the devil, what he's saying is, listen, doesn't Job have a reason because of what you've done for him? And here's an amazing statement when you consider this. Look at verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, here's the question, Doth Job fear God for naught? He says there's a reason why he fears you, and that's because of all the good things you've done for him. Then notice what he says, Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? You know what that tells me? That scoundrel, the devil, tried attacking him from the north. And what happened? God was there. He tried going to the south, and God was there protecting him. He went to the east, and he went to the west. On every side, he tried to get at Job. Why? Because he was one that honored and glorified the Lord. But God was protecting him and keeping the devil from reaching him. And so when we consider this question, listen, Does Job serve God or fear God for naught? Isn't there a reason? And here's what the devil was really saying. Take away that reason and Job will curse you. But see, what the devil did not realize is that Job had a relationship that was built upon the mercy and grace of God that he experienced and believed in. And Job proved it so much so that he... Listen, the more you prove God, the more you'll see his faithfulness. It's when we don't prove God. Okay, God, this is what your Bible says. This is what your word says. I want to prove you in that word in my life. I'm going to bring these things to you and ask you to perform them. And when you watch God perform one of them, you'll walk away saying, was that a coincidence? Now, I believe in the Lord. Let me try that again and do something different here and ask and prove God at another promise. And then God will, you'll prove him and you'll see his faithfulness and you'll experience God. And what will happen is you'll do it time and time again. And before long, you'll just say, that's the Lord. That is God, and that's what Job had. So let's look at a couple of things here tonight. And when we consider this, we ought to be asking the question to ourselves. We ought to take the devil's question, because it's searching. And listen, do we serve God just because of the good things that God does for us, or because we love him and he loves us? And really, he loved us first, and then we in turn love him. So understanding the Lord will create a personal love for him. God wants us to understand him to a greater degree. The more we prove God, the more we understand him. The more we understand him, the greater the personal love is created between us and the Lord. And listen, just the opposite is true. The less we prove the Lord, the less of an experience we have with the Lord, the less the relationship's there. So in a marital relationship, you know how the story goes. They get married and they live happily ever after. Not a problem in the world. No conflicts. Just everything is perfect. Amen? Never a qualm. Everything is just right. He doesn't leave anything on the floor, and the cupboards aren't left open, and all these wonderful things, the laundry's always done, the dinner's always ready, and it's always perfect, never gets burned, and they live happily ever after. No, that's not the case, but what happens is they grow together, or should grow together, because of their commitment to love one another till death do them part. Because what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And so what happens is after the first 10 years, you're on your way. You're on your way. Forget about the honeymoon, all right? I mean, that's good. Enjoy it. It's important. But the more difficulties that you go through and you persevere, the greater the commitment, the greater the love. And then you realize how important that relationship is. And it ought to be cultivated and nurtured. And so God wants us to have that kind of an experience with him. Let's look at this understanding God creates, a personal love for him in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect or mature and upright and one, listen, that feared God and eschewed evil. And that means that he's turned away from evil. He did not want to lose that relationship with his God. What do I mean by that? Well, if you want to keep a relationship with your wife as a man, you make sure that you don't put yourself in a compromised position. You give no room for anything that would disturb your marital relationship with your wife. You don't leave yourself alone somewhere vulnerable where temptation can arise and you cause yourself to fall apart. I'm reminded of Vice President Pence, and I'm not trying to get political here, but he would not. You remember this? It was almost scandalous in the news that he would not allow himself to be with a lady that worked for him alone. He would not go off on a dinner date, and he said because of his wife, because of his relationship that he had with his wife, he would not allow. And my goodness, the news was just calling him all kinds of names because he's living in the Stone Age and he's living in the past, and I like the past when people understood what a marital relationship was all about and what commitment was to a relationship. And he wanted to protect it. And I don't know, today it seems like, getting married and divorced is no big thing. And the reason why it's no big thing is because there's not much of a relationship with God. So he feared God and he eschewed evil. He didn't give any room for it. And then notice God's blessing to Job because of this relationship. Verse 2, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. And a very great household, that means he had lots of servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Wow. But it wasn't about what he had with the material realm. It was with what he had with his God. And you'll see that here in just a moment. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. They each had a day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. This was a good party. This was a good time. So there were 7 different celebrations. Each one of the sons would have a celebration. That's a good thing. It's good for family to enjoy each other. It's good. But notice when we consider this, there was a concern here, and we'll see. I want you to see God's answer to Job's request here in verse 5. So all of them are there gathered together. In verse 5 it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He gave an offering. He had each individual in mind, and he said, I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to sacrifice for each one of my 10 kids according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be, not it's not definite, it might be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, and thus Job annually. Right? Or was it continually? Oh, continually. It was more than just annually. Did God answer his prayer? Well, do you remember when Satan came and said, haven't you made a hedge all the way around him? I tried to get at his family too. God answered Job's prayer. They were protected by the hand of God. Because Job said, I want to just take care. I want to take precaution here. And I want to make sure that they have a right relationship and that everything is right between them and the Lord. So the prayers of God's people on the behalf of their children, God acknowledges and recognizes. Look at verse 6. And we find now here, we see here in verses 6 through 11, Satan's carnality. This is God's answer to Job's request. He protected his children. Notice he wasn't concerned really about his wealth. He had more compassion and concern for the well-being of, listen, his children's relationship with his God. Not just their well-being health-wise, but their relationship with the Lord, that they didn't sin against him. Verse 6, here we see Satan's carnality. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now you got to know his chest was lifted up because he's the prince and the power of the air. He thinks he owns it all. And he says, from walking down, from what I've taken from you. You know, the creation of God, especially mankind, is the apple of his eye. You are, as a child of God, you are the apple of the eye of the Lord. The Bible says that the thoughts of God toward you and I are innumerable. I'd say he loves us, wouldn't you? So he loves us. So Satan knew that, and he said, oh, listen, from walking up and down through the earth that belongs to me, I've taken away, I've ruined, I've destroyed what you've created. So, verse 7. Well, since you say, okay, you're coming up and down, walking down, I'm sorry, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, since you bring this up, hast thou considered my servant Job? Do you think God already knew that? He did. You cannot play with God and win. You cannot defeat the Lord. There are these people that are high and mighty in their concept of God. Listen, can I throw this out there? So you have these so-called atheists, evolutionists, whatever you want to call them, right? And they all come up with this crazy idea because they don't understand that God is outside of time and has no creator. He's just always been. But they think since God created, because he's the creator, that he created the world, that who created God? Is there always their question? Who created God? See, I'm so wise. They think they're so wise and so smart. And they say that nothing created everything, is what the evolutionist says. They say that there was this explosion. Now, I don't know if you know anything about explosions. I don't know a whole lot, but it requires energy to create an explosion. So please pray tell, where did that power and energy come from to create that explosion that created everything? Since you want to use that argument against me, how do you get something from nothing? Let me say that again. How do you get creation from absolutely nothing? Now, it makes all the perfect sense. And by the way, listen, even though we cannot understand it, God is outside of his creation. He's outside of it. Here's another brilliant winner here. Can God make a rock that's too heavy for him to lift? That's stupid. There's no wisdom in that. God holds the whole earth and the whole universe in his hand. And one day, God's going to destroy and recreate the earth. God is not part of the creation. He's outside of it. Now, God is an infinite God. That's amazing to me. He is an infinite God and worthy to be praised. He's not a human being. He is God who created and everything that you and I enjoy, like life and breathing and remembering to breathe. No, we don't even remember to breathe. God just created us to breathe. And aren't you glad you don't have to think to breathe? Huh? I forget some things. I really do. I could forget to breathe, especially if I'm sleeping. Whoops. What happened to Brother George? He forgot to breathe in the middle of the night. And that can happen. But God created us for, you know, to honor and glorify him. And here's the amazing thing. Ready? That he saw fit to create us in his image. Now, I hope you don't think this is too odd, but my goodness, aren't you glad you were created in the image of God? God could have created you, but what if you weren't a human being? What if you were some kind of animal? He created them too, right? But he knew, listen, this is mind-boggling. He had you and I in his mind. We had an eternity past, we were always intended to be created for his honor and glory. Whoever you are was in the mind of God before he even started creating. That blows me away. That blows me away. All the hairs of our head are numbered. God takes note of every fowl in the air and takes care of them. Doesn't it amaze you when you see those? We think, oh, look at the poor cows out there. No, God created them for that. They're quite content being out there in the snow. They're well insulated. Not that it can't get too cold for them, but they have been created for that purpose. And it amazes me. So here it is. The Lord is being contested by Satan here. The contest here. And he says, have you happened to notice my servant Job, verse 8, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Did you happen to notice him? And you know, the devil, if he was a little bit smarter, because he's a liar anyway, he could have said, nope, you know, I overlooked him. Tell me more about, no. Listen, the Lord got him where it counted. He said, yes, I've noticed him. And then that's when he asks the question in verse 9. Then Satan answered. Listen, he answered the Lord. That part was not said. The Holy Spirit injected that for you and I to understand what Satan did next. And then so when God said, have you happened to notice, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him? He's perfect and upright, one that fears God and escheweth evil. And then Satan says, doth Job fear God for naught? Oops. Isn't there a reason? Now, here's where the battle comes in. And by the way, just in case you wondered, God already knew this day was coming. God already knew. Listen, I don't understand it, but he knew what Satan was going to do before he did it. Why? Because he's not created, and because he is all-knowing, and because he is all-powerful, he already knew all of this. Now, I don't understand it all. Why in the world God gives the devil his day? I don't understand it. But I do know that he's going to have his day in court as well. And so when we consider this, he says in verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house in verse 10, and about all that he hath, that's his children, on every side thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, Job is thinking how the world thinks and how fallen man thinks, because he's thinking about all his substance, and he's thinking, and that's true, man without God will do all kinds of crazy things to get gain, won't he? He'll lie, he'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll murder. It amazes me how many young people who have wealthy parents will commit murder on their own parents. That's unnatural to get their gain. It's amazing to me. And yet we had the brothers that happened years ago. If you remember the two brothers that did their parents in, they didn't get away with it. And even if they did on this side, they won't get away with it before the Lord. He says, you've got him protected. And here's what Satan says here as he reveals his carnality. But put forth thine hand now. and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Isn't that amazing? Satan thought that the relationship that Job had with his God was superficial, that it didn't run deep. And so he said, listen, I'm going to tell you, he'll curse you to your face. So now we find God's confidence in his relationship with Job. If God didn't, listen, does God know everything? Does he know everything? When you and I enter into a trial, and I don't say this lightly, I don't say this lightly, I say this fearfully and I say this reverently, it is because God trusts you and I when we enter to give that trial and trust the Lord even when we don't understand what is going on. I didn't say there wouldn't be tears. I didn't say there wouldn't be heartache. But God says, I trust you with this. I trust you that your relationship with me is more important than anything or anyone on this side of eternity. I trust you in that. And that's not an easy thing to say. But that's an important thing to say because our relationship with God needs to be more than just superficial. I like to hear God's people say, you know, God requested what I asked him for. God granted what I requested, but it's so much more than just the physical realms of things of life. It's also our relationship with our God. So verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day, verse 13, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing. This is the day when they were feasting and the asses feeding beside them. And by the way, Job no doubt had prayed for them already. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, my goodness, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep. And by the way, this was Satan's doing, and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, man, I mean, raining and pouring, right? There came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And now I want you to see something. This is the beginning of Job's trial here, but I want you to see what is totally unexpected in the natural realm because of a personal relationship with God. We'll see here Job's worship. Listen. Calamity of calamities, plural, has fallen upon Job, and he pauses and stops, not to grieve, but to worship. Grieving was in the process of this worship, but he did stop, and look what he says here in verse 20. Then Job arose. He's sitting down. He's hearing what's taking place. He had all kinds of servants. I am sure, no doubt about it, he was concerned and loved his servants. And so he was sitting down as he was hearing this news. And then, of course, he gets the last news concerning his children. And then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. And this took time and fell down. All this preparation and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. He humbled himself before his God and said, this is spirit-led. This is a spiritual understanding that only God can bring. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord, listen, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the amazing thing is, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Isn't that amazing? He is worshiping the Lord in this difficult, impossible, naturally speaking, impossible place to worship God. But God, I'm sure, was with him because of that relationship that he had. And listen, I'm not saying he didn't hurt. Oh boy, did he hurt. But God was with him through the storm. And then I want you to take notice of Satan's inconsiderate carnality now and determination to prove himself right. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1 again. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Same question. And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And listen, Satan saw what Satan was there to watch Job and what he would do when he received all that news. And he saw what Job did. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? And the answer would have to be, there is none like Job in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Satan, you are unjust and evil and carnal and wicked, and you are the destroyer. You are death. And look at verse 4 here. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. He doesn't get it, does he? Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. He's in his hand, but save his life. Now, I'm going to show you something here that God showed me. Excuse me, that's easily overlooked. That's a good thing. It's an amazing thing in the midst of this here. So he said, you need to spare his life. So what happens, verse 7? So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Did you see that? He could not wait. The first thing he had on his agenda is to destroy. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I can't imagine that. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. He's having an impossible situation, and yet I am convinced the grace of God is the only thing that can keep us in a time like that. And here's Job. Why? Because of God's faithfulness to Job. Because Job proved God over and over again. And so he called upon the Lord early. And so when Job needed him, God was right there with him. And he'll be there for us as well. Now here's what I want you to see, and we're going to finish. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now, wait a minute. Let's not be too hard on Mrs. Job. All right? Let's not be too hard on her. She had a husband that walked with God. And you hit a mother where it hurts. She lost not just one child. She lost all of them. And that was a very low blow. That was a very low blow. But here's what I want you to see. You remember when the first time... Satan came and he said, hey, listen, you have a protection of all that he has. Job lost it all the first time, didn't he? Notice this. When God joins a husband and wife, they become one. His wife was never touched. She is the weaker vessel, God had respect unto Job's wife, and nothing happened to her. Grief, don't get me wrong. She had the same calamity fall upon her, but physically speaking, God protected her because of Job, because of the relationship Job had with God. And so he is protecting. He sees, listen, only upon Job, not his wife. Do you see that? They are one, and Job lost everything, but he never lost his wife. God kept her there. And by the way, we're not going to go to the end of the story, and blessed her again with 10 more children. And today she's looking at 20 kids that God has given to her. That's amazing, really. See, listen, and I understand it. I'm short-sighted. But we need to allow the Lord to help us to see things through eternity's eyes and not just the temporal side, that we might see the things spiritually speaking. So look at verse 10. But he said unto her, how did he do this? It was the Lord. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. You're talking like a silly woman now that doesn't know the Lord. You know the Lord. What is he doing? Job is physically in pain. Praise God, in God's wisdom, he did not allow Satan to touch his wife. Job's wife, fortunately, at this particular place, is not feeling the physical condition that Job is experiencing. But he's wanting to point his wife back into the way and saying, you know who the fool is? The ones that say there is no God. And that's why he's saying, now you're speaking as one of the foolish women that don't believe that there's a God, when you quite well know that there is a God. Because it was God that brought him all the prosperity that he had in his relationship with his wife, first of all, in his relationship with his God, in his relationship with his children, in his relationship with his servants, in relationship with all that God blessed him, materially speaking. And then again, verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And then he says, what? He asks this question. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil or hardships? Or, in other words, are we just fair weather believers in God, only when the weather's blowing in the right direction for us? Shall we not still believe in our God, even when things aren't working right for us, or at least appearingly so? Shall we not trust the Lord? Listen, shall we not trust the Lord when we don't understand him? God is an infinite God. And may I tell you, there are more times than not that I don't understand God, but he is still faithful, is he not? I am not trying to devaluate or feel what Job's going through. In fact, the truth is I don't, and I can't feel what he's gone through. But I will tell you, I cannot imagine the hardship that he's going through. And yet, notice what he says here. He says in the middle of verse 10, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Listen, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. He did not and would not allow it to come out. Do you think that maybe Job felt abandoned at some moment in time? Of course. He would not allow it to come out. He felt some things, the natural felt some things, but the spiritual said, no, that's not true. The Lord says, you're still in my hand. I know you don't understand this, and he didn't. But he trusted the Lord in what I would say, wouldn't you? An impossible, naturally speaking, an impossible situation. And we're not even going to go to his wonderful friends, the three of them. There was four total. The last one, the youngest one, he said, now you guys need to be quiet. I've heard you guys. You guys are falsely accusing poor Job of doing something that he didn't do. But God is past really our finding out. But God, in a relationship with Him, will bring us into a place of protection. He will bring us into a place that even though we're in the midst of an impossible situation, listen, we can still encourage and point others that are going through the same thing back to the Lord. I would have thought, naturally speaking, Job wouldn't be able to do it. And the truth is, Job by himself would not be able to do it. But Job yielded to the Lord, was able to do that, to the love of his life, to his wife. Really, the love of his life that God has given to him, but the first love of his life was the one that was holding him in his hand. So, the question, doth Job fear God for naught because of what you've done? And the answer is, no, Job loves God, not because of what God has done, but because of who God is to him. If you only received eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't that be more than we deserve? Wouldn't that be more than we deserve? And yet He gives us breath. He gives us good health. May I say something? I don't believe God works this way. Don't say it, Brother George. You're going to jinx us. I don't believe in jinxing and chance. I believe in God. Amen? But let's praise the mighty name of God that Northwood Baptist Church concerning COVID did not really experience any death or you know, serious things that could have happened health-wise. And not only that, but listen, stop and fathom this thought. I've heard more than once from preachers, man, we've lost half our congregation. They didn't come back after COVID. And I hear people, man, you go to churches and they have hardly anybody coming now. 2 years later, we really didn't lose anybody that I can think of. Did we? We still have our congregation that comes. So I want to see that, don't you? Our God is faithful. How often? All the time, brother. All the time. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great faithfulness, for Your mercy and Your grace that is past finding out. I pray, Lord, that You would draw us closer to You and that You would enable us to walk with You and keep our eyes on You and not onto the world and what the world is doing and what the world is saying. We know that it's in the hand of the devil. He's the prince and the power of the air. And You've called us out of the world. We're not the children of disobedience. We are the children of God by Your grace and mercy. Do a work in us, Lord. Give us a revival of a vibrant relationship with You. Bless the invitation. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.